Welcome to this part of our service. I was blessed with the service thus far in the Sunday school, and especially the song that Brother Lance led there after Sunday school. And did you notice the thoughts there about that the writer had about the cloud, the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire? And I guess that's maybe that's why you picked that song. Okay. Anyway, I was blessed with that. Thus deriving from their banner light by night and shade by day. So some other, I didn't look who the author was of those words, but someone else's minds was going down similar thoughts. Well, this morning for a message, I would like to invite you to open your Bibles with me to 1 Corinthians 10. And Brother Steve in the Sunday school read a couple of verses here at the beginning of the chapter. So appreciated that. And I would like to do that as well. And we're going to read 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1 to 14 as an introduction to the message. Given the message, the title, Take Heed, Lest You Fall. Take heed, lest you fall. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, or examples, or types. And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Here we have the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Corinth. And as he points out in his letter, the example of the Israelites, and he says to the church at Corinth, he says, don't do this as they did. And then he says that they are and samples, or they're types, and they're written for our admonition. In other words, for our learning, our teaching. And he sums it up there in verse 12, where he says, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall," and implies that in these situations that he just talked about, pointed out how the Israelites had sinned against God, that in those situations they were thinking that they stood, but they fell. And so I would like to briefly look at some of the stories in the Old Testament. You can turn with me to the book of Numbers, and I'd like to look at these stories. And to discover the reason for falling. He says there in 1 Corinthians that he says, but with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. And that brings to us the overthrown word there is that they were destroyed. And we know that that's what happened to them because of their sin. God said that you are all going to die in the wilderness, those that were of age. They all were destroyed. Their carcasses fell in the wilderness. That's the words that God used. There was many funerals, many graves there in the wilderness that was the result of their sin. So looking first here in Numbers 14, verse 29. This is the story of how after the 10 spies or the 12 spies came back from Canaan, the 10 had an evil report. And in verse 2 of chapter 14, it says, and all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness? And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they went on to say that let's organize and go back to Egypt. And so here they were unthankful for how God had provided for them. And it seems when you look at the whole story, it seems irrational, even with their thoughts, that, but I suppose it gives us an insight into the influence that a few can have over many with what the 10 spies said in their evil report. And suddenly these people thought that they knew better. They knew better that going back to Egypt was better than going into the land that God said he would give to them. And we can see their presumptuous confidence as they attempted to organize themselves, even after Moses and Aaron pled with them that they would not. They fell on their faces, it says there in verse 5, before all the assembly of the congregation. And Caleb and Joshua stood up again and said, don't rebel against the Lord, verse 9. And all the congregation was ready to stone. That's what they wanted, to stone these people. And then God stepped in, and he begins to, in verse 11, he begins to go down over the list of things that he had done for them. And I'm going to read starting verse 11. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? Now that word provoke, sometimes the word tempted is used, and that's used in 1 Corinthians 10. It says that verse 9, he said, let us not tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. But sometimes the word provoke is used, sometimes the word tempt, sometimes the word chide in all of these stories here in with the Israelites. But it has the same thought of coming against God and rebelling against him, arguing with him, or arguing with God's leaders, which was arguing with God. Now I'll continue here in verse 11. And how long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have showed among them? I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they. And Moses said unto the Lord, the Egyptians shall hear it, for thou broughtest up this people in thy might from among them, and they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land. For they have heard that thou, Lord, art among this people, that thou, Lord, art seen face to face, and that thy cloud standeth over them, and that thou goest before them by daytime in a pillar of cloud and in a pillar of fire by night. Now if thou shalt kill all this people as one man, then the nations which have heard the fame of thee will speak, saying, because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which he sware unto them, therefore he hath slain them in the wilderness. And now I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great, according as thou hast spoken, saying, the Lord is longsuffering, and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people, according unto the greatness of thy mercy, as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. And the Lord said, I will pardon. And he goes on and says that, verse 22, all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness and have tempted me now these 10 times and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it, but my servant Caleb, and so on. And so some of this was Moses talking here too, but God said, these people have seen my glory. And in the beginning of 1 Corinthians 10, we read that all were baptized in the sea and all ate the same spiritual meat. That was the manna. And they had come complaining and murmuring to Moses that there was nothing to eat. And so God provided them with manna. And he said, this is the bread that you're going to eat. He told them that. And at the same time, he also provided them a quail. In studying that, it's interesting to note that the very same time when God promised the manna, that's when the quail started. They had quail in the evening for meat. They came in the evening, and then in the morning, the manna was there. And they gathered what they needed for that day. And so they all ate the same spiritual meat. And then in verse 4, 1 Corinthians 10, all drank the same spiritual drink. And that story comes right after the story about the manna, where they had traveled for 3 days or something like that, and there was no water. And they came again, murmuring and complaining to Moses. There was no water, and they had these sarcastic remarks about, did you bring us out here in the wilderness to die? Why didn't you just leave us in Egypt, where we had plenty to eat and plenty of water? And Moses took that to God, and God provided them water. He told Moses, go out and smite the rock, and the water came out, and they drank of that. He says here in 1 Corinthians 10 that they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. And so that rock was a type of Jesus Christ, the source of living water. And if you study the children of Israel, they didn't have problems with water for a long time after that. And I believe that's because that is exactly what happened, that this spiritual rock followed them. It moved around wherever they were. It was there, and the water was flowing. But there were these other times too, when he says here that he said, let us commit fornication, and neither let us tempt Christ. And so we have the time in Numbers 25. You can turn with that to that. Numbers 25 comes after the story of Balak and Balaam. Balak was the king of Moab, and he hired Balaam to come. And Balaam was a prophet of sorts, and he hired Balaam to come and prophesy against Israel and put curses on them, is what he was hoping for. Well, Balaam was not able to do that. The Lord kept him from doing that, But it seems that Balaam, maybe he told Balak of another way to get Israel. And that was through idol worship. And so the beginning of Numbers 25, it says here, and Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab, and they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods. That's the women of Moab, or the daughters of Moab. They called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods, and the people did eat and bow down to their gods. And Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And so we have the Israelites getting ensnared by the Moabites women and in fornication and immorality. But at the same time, they were drawn into idol worship, which the worship of Baal Peor did involve immorality and licentiousness, and this kindled the anger of the Lord, and he sent a plague. I think there was 23,000. Well, that says that in 1 Corinthians 10. They fell in one day, 23,000 of them. And so they were caught in the idol worship. And we know that from the history of the children of Israel, that was something that that they were prone to. I guess it's probably part of the influence of Egypt that lingered on, starting right with the golden calf that Aaron made after they came out of Egypt, and the children of Israel worshiped that, which is mentioned here that as well. He says that the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play in their idol worship, the golden calf worship. Well, this was not pleasing to God. And as we think about this, I think there's a number of things that were the reason that they fell. One was that they thought they stood in the fact that they didn't think that the leaders that God gave them were capable or were leading them the right way. So they were murmuring against their leaders, and it also through that, as we saw when we thought about the need for manna and or food and water, they didn't trust God that he was going to supply them. Think about how different the stories would have been if they would have come to Moses and said, Moses, we're in bad shape. We don't have food. Will you please ask the Lord to supply us with food? And think about how much more beautiful and rejoicing that they would have had. How much more beautiful a picture that would be than what we have, even though we see how God provided for them, and that gives us hope for ourselves. But they didn't trust God. Instead, it was this complaining and arguing, this chiding and tempting God. Even after God had provided for them for many years, I think it was mentioned this morning about how sometimes we can forget. I think Brother Tim mentioned that in his devotional about when we have been provided for, and then it's easy for us to forget that when we need to be persevering instead of complaining. And ultimately, I suppose it comes down to the fact that they were unthankful, which we know the New Testament tells us in Romans that is the first step away from God. I'd like you to turn with me to that. Turn to the book of Romans and see that verse. Verse 21, or Romans chapter 1 and verse 21, it says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And we see this, these verses show someone that thinks they're standing, but they're going to fall when they begin to be unthankful, and they will become vain in their imaginations. Now I'd like to consider the remedy to prevent falling, which here in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12, this verse is all about that. It says here that, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall." And so the main part of the message this morning is that we would see what God's word says as far as the remedy to prevent falling. So I'd like to look now at Hebrews chapter 3, and you can turn with me there. We'll read a number of verses there. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12 to 19. He says, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke. Albeit, not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not?" So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Here he's using especially the instance where the children of Israel were not able to enter the promised land because they didn't believe. But he says, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief." And so this taking heed is part of the remedy. Take heed to ourselves. He says here in verse 14, he says, "For we are made partakers of Christ." If we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. See, our confidence as we come to Christ, as we accept his salvation, our confidence is in him, not in ourselves. And it's when we start to place confidence in ourselves that we will fall. So we need to take heed. I'd like to turn now to Galatians 5. 13, and here's another time in the New Testament where we have the admonition to take heed. Galatians 5 and verse 13. "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh." So here we have, I think the main thrust of these verses is that if we take heed to love our neighbors, and he says he's talking to brethren, he's talking to those that are in Christ. He says, use this liberty that you have to serve one another in love. And he sums it up then by saying, you walk in the Spirit, and then you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. So the lust of the flesh is selfishness. It's not brotherly love, and it's not loving your neighbor as yourself. It's only looking out for me. It's only looking out for what serves me. But he said, you walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Isn't verse 15 quite graphic? He says, if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. I wonder what it must look like to God sometimes as we relate, or as I relate, not as loving my neighbor as myself, but as looking out for me. It must look terrible to him in the spiritual sense, where we bite and devour other people. So we need to take heed. We need to take heed to believe the Lord, not be in unbelief like the Israelites. We need to take heed to love, by love serve one another. Another thing that I believe the Bible teaches us is there was a verse yet I want to look at here in Hebrews chapter 4. And this introduces this next part about the remedy for falling. But Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 11, it's another thought about the Israelites and their unbelief. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 11 says, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. We're talking about the remedy for falling. And he says here, let us therefore labor. And I've given that the point, or the description, that laboring as diligentness, or diligence, diligent watchfulness. Ephesians 5 is where I like to turn next. You can turn with me to that. Ephesians 5, and we're going to read verses 1 to 20. Think about the diligence, the diligent watchfulness that we need as followers of God. He says here in verse 1 of Ephesians 5, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. We're walking in the Spirit. Verse 2, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And I think especially in these next verses is where we see the diligent watchfulness that we should have. He says, walk as children of light, verse 9, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doeth maketh manifest, I'm sorry, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Did you notice that verse 15, how he says, then see that you walk circumspectly? That's some watchfulness, isn't it? That circumspectly is looking around and being aware of what territory we're walking through. He gives us a thought of proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And let us give that as new things come along in church life or in our homes. Let's give some time to let them prove themselves and not just be caught up in every new idea or new way of doing things that comes along. He says here, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. And I think it's probably easier to privately, unknown to anyone else, have fellowship with the fruitful works of darkness than it's ever been before, with the convenience that we have of our communications technology, our phones right in our hands, that we can access much that is of the devil, that's of the works of darkness. He says, walk as children of light. Again, he says in verse 20, giving thanks always for all things. One evening in instruction class, we talked about that. Some of you young people that are in that class might remember that. And that very night, I had to put to practice what I had preached to y'all, because that was the night that it rained for the first time in many weeks, and I had the roof of my house open because I was wanting to replace the shingles. Well, it wasn't all totally open, but enough was open that the water was going to come in, and so in the night I needed to get up and try to cover it, and I had these verses, or my admonition about being thankful came into my mind, and I had to practice that. But he says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father. Another point of that we need to be diligent and watchful is that we have an enemy, and we talked about that in the Sunday school this morning, the adult class, about how Satan, he doesn't give up. He doesn't stop. When there's been one victory where he was defeated, he just comes back again. And if you're still there in the book of Ephesians, look in chapter 6 now. Excuse me. In verse 10 and 11, he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, I tell you, brothers and sisters and friends, if we're not being diligent and watchful, we're going to fall, because the devil is a wily, slippery spirit, a demon, an angel. He has a whole lot of tricks and deception that if we're not walking circumspectly, if we're not looking diligently, if we're not watching, we're going to be tripped up, and we're going to fall. Hebrews 12:15 says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. Looking diligently. See, God has given us a place to stand. where we can stand and we don't need to fall. And that's in his grace, and that's in his gospel. And there's a number of scriptures we could look at, but I'll give them to you. You can write them down. Actually, I'm getting ahead of myself here. We're still thinking about the remedy. Well, I'll give you those scriptures in a little bit. We're still thinking about the remedy for falling, so we don't need to fall. And I'd like to consider now a number of verses that use the word beware. You can turn with me to Philippians 3, and we'll read a couple of verses here. Philippians 3 and verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I count a loss for Christ. Paul says here, beware. Beware of, he says, dogs, evil workers, and concision. And we can sum this up and think about this as beware of those that would sidetrack us, either on one side going to, well, it doesn't matter what you do and how you live and how you dress and where you go, as long as your heart's right. That's one side. The other side is, well, if you do these things and look this way, then you'll be saved. If you look a certain way, dress a certain way, then you'll be saved. But Paul said that we need to beware of those two sides. And he says, I was there. I know how it is and how it feels to have confidence in the flesh, because he did at one point. Those things were gained to him. That was in verse 7. They meant something to him. All those things he mentioned about his pedigree and his zeal. But he said, I counted them but loss. I counted loss for Christ. And so he didn't have any confidence in those things. He wasn't standing there. He was standing somewhere else. He was counting on somewhere else. If we count on those things, we're going to fall. And so this comes to the last point here under the remedy, and that is humility. You know, we need to be humble as we come to God. And we need to accept the truth that we understand in God's word about ourselves. And we need to accept the truth about God and who he is. And we need to accept the truth of Satan, about Satan and his attempts to overthrow God and his attempts to beguile us. And so here I come to this thought about where we do stand. And we need to be humble in this, in where we actually do stand. Because if we start to think that we have a special spot because we're God's people, we can lose our humility and start being confident in ourselves. But Romans 5 and verse 2, the brother read that or Brother Tim read that. Thank you, Brother Tim. He read that devotions. He said that we stand in the grace. He says, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace. It's the grace of God wherein we stand. We stand in the grace of God. That's unmerited favor of God. It's God's favor that we have salvation. It's God's favor that he gave us life and breath, allowed us to live long enough to hear of the gospel. And he says in 1 Corinthians 15:1, he says, moreover, brethren, I declared unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. We stand in the gospel, the good news of salvation. And we stand by faith. That's 2 Corinthians 1:24. Not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy. For by faith ye stand. Now I'd like to turn to Colossians 2 and read a number of verses. Colossians chapter 2, starting at verse 4. There's the word established here in this passage. You can look for that word. There's the word steadfastness. All these words have to do with standing and has to do with where we stand. And there's also the word beware. Notice those as we read. Colossians 2, verse 4. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Isn't this beautiful how this flows through all the scriptures? These truths, thanksgiving is here again. Verse 8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. Well, that is our humility in keeping from, as part of the remedy. I'd like to look now just in the last point here is the recovering from falling. And you can turn with me to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2, and I'm going to look at the church at Ephesus. Jesus had a message for the churches, the seven churches, and the message to the church at Ephesus has this admonition. Verse 5 of Revelation chapter 2, he says, remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. From where had they fallen? He says, remember from whence thou art fallen. From where had they fallen? Well, in verse 4 says, he says, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. I think it was that love relationship with Jesus The love relationship with Christ is where they had fallen at. They had fallen from that. And they were just focusing on the service. He says, I know thy works and thy labor. He talks about that a number of times about how they had labored and not fainted and so on. But it seems that they had allowed their service to get ahead of their love. Their service to God was ahead of their love for God. And they weren't spending time with Him. And that's capital H-I-M. So if we have fallen, if I have fallen, I need to remember my love relationship with Him that I had. Where's the blessedness I knew when first I saw the Lord? Where's the soul's refreshing dew, Jesus and His Word? Remember our love relationship with Christ. And we need to spend time with Him. We spend time in with His Word, in His Scriptures. And we need to repent. He says, except you repent, I'm going to come and take your candlestick away. Or remove your candlestick out of the place. See, God has places. He had places for the churches on His lampstand to be a light to the world. And if they were going to lose their love and continue to go away from the Lord, then He was going to take their candle out of that spot and put someone else there that would be a light for Him. We have this scripture that I will give in closing. 2 Peter 3, verse 17. He says here, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. So may we beware, may we take heed, not forget to be watchful, in diligence, be humble about the place where we stand, and not forget the remedy for falling away, and that is repentance. May God bless each of you. Let's kneel together in prayer.